Pete, normally I do like this thing where I talk to the guest, and then afterward I kick you out and I do an intro and I read from my startup inbox. I'm just going to do it all fresh with you here because we got the startup inbox. You're a VC, so you know you get more inbox questions than anybody. So I'm just going to let you play along with us on the front end here, and we'll dive into the Chicago Wellness Challenge. By the way, I'm Scott Catoon. Welcome to the Technori Podcast. Pete Wilkins, Managing Director of HBA. Right.
Yes.
Managing Director. Joining you live from WGN Radio here. And we've got our startup inbox, which is brought to you by ActiveCampaign. We use ActiveCampaign, and so can you. You can find out if you subscribe to our newsletter. You'll find it out. It's scroll all the way to the bottom, and it's right there. See why 65,000 businesses use ActiveCampaign for their marketing. Sign up at ActiveCampaign.com/Technori. Get your first 2 months for free. Startup inbox, before we get into our interview and conversation.
Hey, let me do a little throw on top of that.
Please.
Active Campaign, we use it at HPA as well. So we're big supporters of Active
Love
Campaign.
It.
So tip of the hat to the boys in Chicago.
No kidding. And also, I'm sure you know the story. 12 years. They just like Jason just like rolled through for like 7 years with a tiny team, just like one day at a time.
That's right, and now they got offices in Brazil, Australia, et cetera. They're going to take over the world before
you
know it.
I really
great
do
product for sure.
Really love the product. So here's a question for you, Eli Cohen: how to fund my product? What's the best way to fund my consumer product? Bootstrap or crowdfunding or a VC or a partnership?
The best way to do it is bootstrap until you got product market fit. Once you can demonstrate product market fit, then you're basically using capital to grow your business. And ultimately, the unit economics work out the best. Now, what happens is a lot of folks don't have the capital to bootstrap it until it has a product market fit. I think crowdfunding, when you have a product, which it sounds like...
Yep. Not enough information, but it's definitely a consumer product.
Consumer
so
product, yeah. So I think that crowdfunding creates a really unique opportunity for those early adopters who are going to give you the benefit of the doubt that it's not going to work perfectly.
Yep.
And they're also giving you some cash to help you get it off the ground. And I think then you have the opportunity to show through your crowdsourcing campaign that you have product market fit, at least in the early adopters.
Yep.
And so you get more evidence that there's a possibility to really grow that business.
I like the Kickstarter for these guys in the sense that it's sort of like a hypothetical product market fit. Because like most of them haven't built it yet,
right?
And they're going to come sort of with their original idea, but like with feedback, and then they market and it sort of like gives you your first run. So you sort of can learn how to manage supply chain a little bit and sort of, it's like training wheels. That I like.
And 100%, I think what people often get so caught up in making their product perfect. And I think there's an element in the CPG space that has to be a lot more usable than what I think technologists look at from an MVP perspective. But with regards to...
like, say, a whoop sensor?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it has to be aligned with that. But I'm sure the whoop folks would tell you a little bit is you got to get something on someone's wrist to see even if that first thing works. And I think what the Kickstarter campaigns do is they validate there's a market need. If nobody picks it up, even in what you're promising, there probably isn't even a market need. And so with that, many times, and I'll even say this for folks that have software products, you don't necessarily have to have the software to see if there's going to be true market demand. You start talking to some early customers and say, hey, look at my presentation.
Yep.
Does this solve your problem? And that saves you a lot of time and capital just to get feedback from people that are going to ultimately buy it.
I think early on, people, whether it's consumer product or otherwise, are way too quick to try to raise money.
100%. I mean, I was actually just talking to a recent guest in the hall, and we were talking about they had an opportunity to maybe exit sooner than they had thought.
Yep.
And they were like, well, we're going to grow this thing to be big. And I'm sure they are. I'm sure there's that possibility. But if you start looking at the law of averages and successfully exiting a startup, because there's a lot of things that are in the press that there's an exit, but nobody made money.
Yeah.
So they certainly exited, and I think everybody, tip of the hat to an entrepreneur just to get it to that point. But to actually make it where you're putting $3, $4, $5, $10 million in your pocket, very few people get there. And I think what happens is you get to the folks at Vivid Seats, or you see kind of success stories like Field Glass or Clever Save for those that are out there, and you think, well, I'm just going to keep on rolling it. And at the end of the day, when you look at Chicago's landscape over the last 10 years, you can count those companies on your hand.
Yep.
So anyway, I think that if you can bootstrap it, it gives you capacity to go and show there's product market fit. And then what a thing that I tell entrepreneurs a lot about is it's all about the cost of capital. And I think that the cost of capital comes in two form. How much it costs me to actually take your money in terms of ownership of my company, and how much am I willing to give up from a control standpoint? Because once I'm an investor where you have a partnership, and it is worth understanding to the entrepreneur, our partnership means that I'm going to be a part of your board and I'm going to provide my point of opinion. Now, a good partner is going to be like any partner. You're going to agree, you're going to disagree, but ultimately you're always operating in the benefit of the organization. So I don't want to say that you give up all control.
Yeah.
But when you take capital from a venture capitalist, and I think everybody, there's expectations, and those expectations come from control or from equity. So
couldn't say it better. I obviously we could go on for many episodes talking about the VC space and investments and all that. You're here in particular because you've offered a challenge to myself and about two dozen other folks in Chicago, and hopefully everyone else listening here, the Chicago Wellness Challenge. Saw the article go out from Thrive Global today.
Nice.
We shared that. You guys should check it out.
Awesome.
You can follow Pete on Instagram where?
My handle is Pete Wilkins underscore.
Pete Wilkins underscore. Follow and learn everything about it. Technori and me at Katoon, we're going to be sharing this everywhere. But tell us the gist of, I want to know what the challenge is first. I know already, obviously, but like, what is the challenge? And then I'd like to talk more about why you presented this challenge.
Yeah. How about we reverse the order?
Okay.
We'll get to the why.
That's how we do this. We start with why, but I switched it on you because I was like, you know, I don't sometimes like to, you know, mix it up.
Well, I think that I am such an avid listener. I'm just used to the why coming first. So I was completely ready for it. And now I'm throwing off my game. But I think the why is really important. You know, I kind of look at myself in the community as somebody that's committed in investing, and I think that I invest in both people and organizations. In HPA, we have what our brand's built around, people first.
Yep.
And the philosophy is human capital maximizes financial capital. And I think that we can really talk about matching people that have started, scaled, sold businesses, how they work with entrepreneurs that are learning to do that or have done it before, how that team really works well. And just like you and I got into this conversation about the dynamics of investing. I mean, I think that most people got that cold. But I think what happens is it's talking about investing in the human. And I think that people got that wrong. It's this idea of like, you're going to work till you drop. And there is evidence galore that to maximize your performance, you really have to invest in yourself. And I think this idea of wellness is at the center of a discussion. If you can look at it in two different ways, it could be feel good in a sense of like, I think it's the right thing to do from a human perspective. But I think you could put a investor's hat on and say, it's the right thing to do because you're going to get the maximum out of people in order for them to perform better in the business. I think the double bottom line on it all, though, is you give people the opportunity to be their best selves. You're going to get the most out of them.
Yeah.
And if you get the most out of them in a business setting, you're probably going to have fantastic results. And I think that the reason the challenge comes up is because I talk about this stuff all the time. And I've, as an entrepreneur, I went through it. I mean, I've done three different startups. And during a recent entrepreneurial endeavor, I went from 170 pounds to 180 to 190 to 210. And on my frame, that is not a good look.
Yeah. It's not really a good look on my frame either, but I just go with it.
Well, you're bigger than me, but the net of it is not only does it not look good, my stress level was outside of norms. My overall resting heart rate was ridiculous. And that was symbolic of kind of how I was acting. You know, it was ultimately my ability to perform my job was compromised from a cognitive perspective of how was I interacting with my peer group? How was I interacting at home? How was I interacting in the community? And at the end of the day, if you don't take care of yourself, all those things get compromised. But if you do take care of them, then all those things are improved.
Yep.
And I just find it crazy that people aren't talking about this and making a difference. So that's why I came up with a challenge.
I think, so it's interesting to keep it in kind of the sports context. I liken all of the apps and the you know, productivity stuff that we do in companies and even the companies themselves, like the way that we're disrupting whatever it is. And it's like a basketball team full of stars with a shitty system. You've got no system you're running, and so it's just amok. And I think if you're the operator and you mentally and physically are completely out and you're just not, you're not operating in any sort of way that's optimized,
all right,
what good do you make with the tools you've got around you? Nothing. Because you're slow thinking, you're sluggish. When you need to be on, you're off. You don't have the energy. You don't have the stamina to roll through it. And you don't have the patience level. Everything just starts to like roll downhill. And for like, for me, what I was interested about it was like personally, and I know it's impossible, it's a vicious cycle. I am the best decision maker when I'm at the right ideal weight. I sleep better. I handle stress better. Everything is better. And I know what that looks like. I know what it feels like. I know what the diet should be for me. I know what the exercise routine needs to be. But then when I have stress come in and I have feeling down or things aren't going right, I tend to eat more. I tend to not exercise as much. I tend to take a lot of shortcuts. And it's like, you would think that you wouldn't because you shouldn't get down, but everybody gets down. Everybody has that weakness, whether it's an injury or just anything. I believe, even though I may not look this way, I believe very, very heavily in doing everything you possibly can to make your mind and your body be the most impactful it can be so that you can exercise. It's like a flywheel. You can start rolling forward your mind and then your body and your body and then your mind and then your career,
right,
and then your aspirations. Absolutely. And family and so on.
I think there's a ton of evidence, but and I think everybody's heard this old adage, you know, you can saw and saw and saw, and if you never take any time to sharpen the saw,
yeah,
you know, you're just diminishing returns. But I'll even throw it this way. It's like kind of like a bungee jumping. Like if you bungee jump on the same rope over and over and over again, ultimately the thing snaps.
Yeah. That's why I don't bungee jump.
Right. Well, everybody should.
Because I don't know where it's, I don't know which number it's on.
And that's how we are in life.
Did Pete just go, or how many do I have left?
I think the other thing that I'll say, is it's not about perfect. And I think that's what so many people in society are trying to get is perfect.
Yeah.
It's all about progress. And I think that it's just looking at it the same way. So if I believe that, then we know we're going to fail. And I think that failure from an entrepreneur, we all know that. But it's not about the failure. It's about how do you get up? How do you brush yourself off again? And I think that the challenge is not about defining what Pete's best is or what Scott's best is. It's what your best is defined by you. And I think that that becomes really important as people are thinking about it, is what I'm saying is just do one small thing, whether that's 5 minutes of meditation 3 times a week, or that is eating an apple versus having a bowl of chips. Make it small, because creating those routines, it's about the progress. And then that ultimately helps you define your best self. And so the challenge, and this is what I want to make real sure, I think it's fun and it captures a lot of interest. Like, what are you doing? What kind of challenges are you going to overcome? And you'll see through the folks that are participating in this, there's some big goals, there's some smaller goals, there's some really easy goals. But I think the message is from these entrepreneurial leaders on some of the most successful companies in the city that they're trying to show their families, their communities, and their teams that wellness matters. And I think going back to what we were saying, it's not about perfect, it's about progress, and that's ultimately what the challenge is about.
So a couple things. I want to talk to you more about the individuals who are doing this, and maybe speak a little bit from your side and mine on why, you know, we think that they were so, I mean, a lot of really big names, at least in Chicago Tech, have jumped on this, and they jumped on it really fast. And, even when you announced it to people privately, all of a sudden the brands and like Whoop, who is a big thank you to them. I am already hooked, by the way. And I can also tell you that I was at Strive Village today for my first workout since like October 8th. And there's three Whoops that got ordered. So just so you know, the partnership is working.
Will, Mr. CEO, founder of Whoop, the challenge is coming true. Thanks, buddy.
Three trainers all asked me if they could look at it and watch after the workout, look at my app, and they loved it. So as an FYI, the partnership's working there. The other thing I think is really cool about this, and I want to drill in just as like the founder kind of entrepreneur type, is, you know, you talk about failure, and I think everybody's gone down the road of like the failure, the struggle porn and all that stuff. Like we're past that. I actually think for me, the two things that I want to get most out of this for myself, and I think is the most valuable for entrepreneurs who don't take their body and mind seriously, is less about the actual act of failure and more about the willingness to do something knowing that it's probably not going to go well. Today, I walked into the gym knowing there's a pretty good chance I'm going to end up with my face in the toilet. And they were nice to me and I escaped without it. But it's knowing that this is going to suck and I'm going to overcome it because it's better for me. It's better for you. It's better for everybody. And the other part about that that is 1A and 1B is this thing you brought up about measuring and about small gains.
Right.
We're trained to think as an entrepreneur, like it's go big or go home, or it's all this crazy shit that we say. The reality is it's building. It's building blocks. It's small gains. It's okay that today, thanks to Whoop, I knew that I didn't sleep well. I'm running behind a little bit. And I came to the gym maybe not at my best. And normally, I would just push it to the max and I'd stumble. And that's okay. But you find out diminishing returns.
All right.
Knowing that I need to make incremental improvements and I don't have to build Rome in a day.
All right.
But you do need to spend time on infrastructure. And I think the correlation between person and business is so strong here that I think, in my opinion, that's why I think so many CEOs have jumped onto this.
Well, your opinion is... And we should make sure we double click this in radio terms.
Yeah.
Is 100% right. So I think that the evidence supports it. It's not anecdotal.
Yeah.
But we all anecdotally know that we feel better when we do good things.
Yep.
But I think that what you've been able to see with Whoop and other type of technology is now you're measuring performance. And your performance is a physiological effect, and you can correlate that to performance in the classroom or in the office or in the community or at home. And the same impact that these elite athletes are training their bodies for, you can show those same type of correlations in these environments.
Yep.
And so, like, this is fact. Now, you may choose that this isn't some facts don't matter in my life, and that's okay.
It's not really okay, actually. It's really not good for anyone when you're one of those people. We have one in office, and it's not really.
I think the reality of it is, though, is that a lot of people, the facts are there. They choose to believe what they choose to believe.
Yeah.
But I think that this is based on evidence, and I think the thing that I did, so this will give you, I spent 5 years tracking my overall fitness performance, and I compared it against other factors in my life. So I compared it against how did I perform in what I refer to as my vocation.
Yep.
How did I perform with regards to my relationships, which I consider my connections. I also measured how did I represent myself against what I feel are my core values. And what I had found in my totally...
You're an exceptional nerd, by the way. Bursting out of the seams.
Yeah, and wait till you see this. But I think that what I was able to say through, you know, a sample size of one is that my wellness was the foundation for my ability to perform in all those other levels. And there is plenty of evidence, and I'll support this because, you know, this is something that I'm passionate about. And I talked about how I'm putting a book together on this, but it had an impact. So your foundation of wellness and the capacity that you now have to actually change that with these wearables and with different types of tracking technology like Whoop allows you to kind of calibrate like, oh my God, look, I am really strained and my recovery is really low. Maybe I should change my overall performance today and get some more sleep. And so I think those tiny things like I'm going to get, you know, 7 hours sleep tonight for sure will allow you to perform significantly better. So it is there, And I think people know it. It's a matter of actually going back to it. It's doing it.
And I want to add one more thing before we roll off of this is the reality is a lot of times it's very easy for us to lump things into a singular bucket, fitness, wellness, and all this stuff. And sometimes it's really, it's overbroad or too broad. And sometimes it's overly specific and it becomes broad because it's right. So specific. It doesn't mean anything. Just because, like, I'm going to use some of the people who are in this thing, like, you know, Amanda Lannert, Ryan Benici, people that I know well. It doesn't need to be about weight loss, which for me, it's about weight loss and getting myself back to the performance weight that I'm happy at. For Ryan, it's not about fitness. It's about mind share. It's about we're running a, you know, a company, CMO of G2, going gangbusters, and I need to create some time for my own self. It's Amanda having a family and a balance and kids and a job and a company in Jellyvision that she runs and people that follow her and all the different philanthropic things she does, needing to have the time to like calm and slow down a minute. And so like to you, to me, wellness means a totally different thing. And maybe fitness is a part of it, a big part of it, or maybe it's not. Maybe, you know, you go, not that jogging is not a sport. I, you know, obviously I'm not a runner, but like those that I run, I get a run when I get chased.
Right.
Those that do.
Which happens a lot, right?
You'd be surprised.
Like in good ways. Like, oh my God, there's Scott.
Yeah. Not so, well, it's usually very short treks. It's just like from the refrigerator to the elevator, but now no more fridge. But my point in all this is, it doesn't have to necessarily be tied to fitness. You should definitely be active, was my point of that. But it might just be taking time to use, like we have the Calm app involved in this, and it might be the biggest thing, which my trainer said today, was like, it's great that you come in here a couple times a week now for the challenge, but don't forget your diet. Thanks, right. Luke from Farmer's Fridge. Like, you've got to take all the parts and identify them. And some of them are going to relate to you more than they do me, more than Ryan, more than Amanda.
All right.
And I think it's important.
Yeah, so let me just speak to that. I brought some stats in. And what we did is when I looked at the 12 participants who decided to join the challenge, and I'm kind of tracking this in those that are joining online, you see that we had six categories: strength and fitness, stress reduction, changing body composition, mindfulness or meditation as one, nutrition and sleep. And so what was interesting is that meditation, nearly 70% of the participants were focused on making sure that their challenge addressed that.
I think that's the only one I didn't do.
Yeah, but
my chair. But
I think that to your point though is if you look at strength and fitness, 77%, sleep 46%, stress reduction 31%, surprisingly. But I would argue that probably the mindfulness element, which I think can be too, it's simply just training your mind to be focused and aware of your surroundings. It doesn't have to be a Zen-like experience, or it may be. But if you look at the broad focus, I think that we're not only looking at health physically, but mentally. And that whole person is being presented in this whole challenge. And the folks that are following on Instagram, the folks that are following on Twitter, as well as LinkedIn, you're seeing that come to fruition. So, you know, I think you did some other things. I think that the thing that I see, like with Factor 75, truthfully, I had never sat down with a registered dietitian. And thanks to Factor 75, I had the opportunity to look at some of my behavior. And I think my diet's pretty solid, but they really gave me some great tips, which through their programming is going to be really helpful in my nutrition. Yeah. Or if you look at like my T-squares my T-squares are handle on Instagram, but
blueberry is tasty, by the way.
And the chai vanilla ones are awesome.
That's in my bag.
Well. Yeah, they are. But, you know, it's also getting energy, not by jacking myself up with a Red Bull.
Yeah.
But taking something that's natural that's going to allow me to make a difference. And I think that, you know, Caitlin from Simple Mills, you know, that's the same thing that they're looking at, is how do we put simple foods that are delicious so that people can function optimally?
Yep. No, I agree. It's the whole thing goes into one part. I hope that people out there listening play along with us, that the founders that are going to see this and listen to this, you don't have to be a part of this challenge to be a part of your own challenge. And that it really, we're doing it for 6 weeks because that's the amount of time and availability that we all had to showcase it. Doesn't mean it ends. It shouldn't end after that. The idea here is that it's like, I used you as an excuse for me to get my ass in gear. My hope is to like carry that on from there. And I think most people, I think it's just like, if you need to take a minute to recalibrate, do so now.
Yeah, amen. And I think that the idea, and everyone around the challenge that I talk to is, the purpose is to shift the conversation about what we're discussing versus me talking about 5 million pre, 3 million or 8 million post with double digit year-over-year growth and how that's going to transform the world and we're going to make the world better. I think that what I'm saying is don't kill yourself trying to change the world. Start focusing on making yourself a little bit better because ultimately they'll make your company a little bit better. And I think that if we have these dialogues, you'll see, hey, did you get a good night rest versus being all pissed off that he didn't code throughout the night? And at the end of the day, it's going to be, although I know everybody says they've done it, it is evidence will show that long-term effect of doing that over a period of time will have a worse product. Now, this is one thing I will say, Scott, is I am not saying to all you entrepreneurs that there's not going to be some nights where you're just going to multiple days, but I are talking about it's like a bank account. If you keep on taking out of your wellness account till you got nothing, you're going to end up bankrupt just like your company.
Yep. And I just want to be clear to those listening. If you do find yourself sitting across from Pete in the boardroom, you still need the 5 pre and the 8 post. He just wants to see like a 67 to 92% recovery on your Whoop app.
Right.
If you have the if you have the trio, that's how you get that HP money.
Right. There'll be a new metric that we'll be looking at how well you are.
This is a lot of fun to have you here. People listening to this show and others, I'll be talking about this throughout the next 6 weeks on the live show. You'll be back on, and we're going to have most of the people who are participating to come in throughout this entire challenge. So you guys will be able to listen to more of what's going on as it unravels. And my personal opinion, I think based on the early baseline numbers you have, I think we're going to find a lot of surprises. I think as we get through it, you're going to find myself included looking at the meditation part of like, that might not have been something that I specifically hit. And now I'm already finding myself trying to like find space in my head. And we're going to see these people who pick certain things they wanted to hit on and ended up with other stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think it'll be, once again, going to our center, it's the conversation about why you're doing that. I thought really intriguing. I'll give you some credit, Scott, because originally this was going to be kind of
thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. You at least planted in my head, don't do just strength. Allow people to choose whatever they want. Yeah. And at the time, it's your fault that this has become such a big challenge. So everybody can blame those that are in the challenge, can blame Scott. But I think ultimately... everybody had a different view of what wellness is.
Yep.
And I think that is fantastic. And so we're talking about this now and people are going to look about it. I saw Troy Hennekoff in the hall in 1871 and we started talking about sleep. And then I was saying, hey, have you ever tried meditation just to get your mind steady so you can sleep better? And it shows that it's changing. And you were the one that said, hey, make it broader. I think we're going to see success in that, but we're going to see some measurable gains as well, for sure.
Very cool. I'm excited to do this. Hopefully I can bill you back for the new clothes after I lose my 12 pounds or whatever I got going.
Maybe we get a new sponsor.
You're around. Are you listening, Brian Spaley? Do you know some people? Can you introduce us to Eric Nordstrom so we can get some shopping on?
Yeah, well, you know, there's Trunk Club success out of Chicago.
We've had some good
connection, right?
We've got some good stuff. Where do people go to follow along with this?
Hey, so the best place to follow along, if you go to PeteWilkins.me, I'll be providing updates on my blog on a regular basis. You're going to see a lot of coverage coming up through all your local sources, Technori, Chicago Inno. You'll see a host of folks posting on LinkedIn as well as Instagram where we're having a contest. So all the prizes all the support, the health partners that we mentioned. And I got to give a shout out to Live Chicago and Forward Fitness, who are also partners. All of those will have a grand prize winner for those that are participating on Instagram. So go to Scott's page, go to my page, go to
hashtag CHI Wellness Challenge.
There you go. End it at that.
There you go. Learn more about upcoming Technori events, investment opportunities. Check out the blog at technori.com. Download the podcast on Spotify or Apple, or follow us on social at Technori, or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.